Hello and welcome everyone to another Up the Podcast countdown to kick off. I'm Harry. Tonight I've got Ashley with me. Ashley, how are you?
I'm all good, Harry. I've just about cooled down from Tuesday night where, you know, it was hot enough as it was, and then come the full-time whistle, myself and Max were a little bit hot under the collar, but it is what it is. It's only a cup game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. But it's back to league action on Saturday. Having been up at Accrington on Tuesday night, we go to Wigan Athletic on Saturday. And today we're joined by the host of Progress with Unity podcast from Wigan, Barry. How are you, Barry?
I'm very warm, if I'm being honest. It's quite hot up here this evening. I think we're about 26 degrees and it's forecast 25 for tomorrow. Match time, so shorts and t-shirt, I think. Yeah, but apart from that, I'm fine.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Ashley, he goes to shorts even if it's minus two. He goes to games in shorts even if it's minus 2 degrees. So no change for him. So I was on your podcast earlier in the week, and let's do the fans who are going up to Wigan some service. As I understand it, there is a massive car park right next to the stadium. Is that right? So it's going to be quite easy for anyone driving up?
Yeah, absolutely massive. We've got, if you go down Stadium Way, if you WN5-0UN, that's the postcode, Stadium Way. And as you're driving it, it's on your right-hand side. And it's a massive, massive cup. I think it holds about 3,000 vehicles. So it's where the coaches park as well. And it's a 2-minute walk to the ground, straight down the Stadium Way. Yeah, past the Athletics Academy. And your particular end, the North Stand, is where you'll end up. That's the first thing you come across. So, dead easy. You won't get lost.
Very good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This is my first time to Wigan away. I'm sure you've done it before, haven't you, Ashley? Like, a few times, right?
Yeah, this will be my third time now. And I think the previous two times have both been on Tuesday nights when it has been pretty cold, and not been a great experience just because we've been rubbish.
Let's hope we can kick that trend. I've got one more question for you before we get into the football. For those of us getting there early enough to have lunch in Wigan, I understand you've got a delicacy up there. Is that right?
Oh, have we? Yeah, Wigan kebab. It's commonly known as there's a bit of dispute in this. Wiganers will argue the toss. Some Wiganers say you get a steak and you put three pies on it, a pork pie, a meat pie, and a meat and potato. But like with kebabs, there's different types of kebabs, isn't there? There's shish kebabs, there's doner kebabs, there's every kind of kebab you can think of. But a Wigan kebab, where I grew up, and I'm quite old, so I'm going back a long time here, it's a pie on a berm. Now, for you Southerners who don't know what a berm is, it's a bun. So, you know, you go, say, can I have a bun, please? Well, it's a berm cake is what we...
It's a roll. It's a roll.
No, a roll's what you do down a hill. You go on a roll down a hill.
Yeah, if you're a block of cheese, maybe. Oh, Barry, yeah. I don't know whether you know this, but I've done a little bit of research on Posh at Wigan, and I am not looking too optimistic in tomorrow game. We've played at the Wigan Stadium 13 times. Do you know how many times that Posh have won in that?
Once.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Do you remember when that was?
That was in administration, I think, when we had all our youth team and a load of journeymen playing for us. I think we lost 3-2, did we? Something like that.
Possibly. It was the COVID season, if that lines up with what you had when there were no fans in the stadium. So I don't know about you, but I'm not expecting a great deal tomorrow. What can we sort of expect from this season's Wigan team?
Well, when you came last season, I spoke to Harry before the game and he was telling me how free-flowing you were, and I knew that. I mean, I thought you were going to be excellent and put us under all sorts of pressure, and we weren't scoring goals, and we beat you 3-0. You know, so that sort of blew us both out of the water, I think. This season, I'll tell you what, our philosophy has definitely changed. Under Martinez, I need to call him, under Maloney, who is a Martinez disciple, under Maloney, we were very cautious. Our first priority was not to lose the game. Hence, I think we had something like 12 goalless draws last season, 17 draws altogether. So that's where that ended up taking us under Ryan Law. He's a bit like Kevin Keegan, if you can remember him at Newcastle. I think you're a bit young, actually. But Kevin Keegan's philosophy when he was manager of Newcastle was, we're going to score more goals than you are. And that's the way he went about his games. And I think that's the season I'm hoping for, actually, because of like a lack of goal mouth action and entertainment last season. I want to see a little bit more this term. And we started off in exactly that frame of mind against Northampton. I mean, we won 3-0. We missed two absolute sitters open goals, which would have given us five. Their keeper pulled about three excellent saves out. And we had 20 attempts at goal with 8 on target. And we should have come away from that game with a much healthier scoreline. So I was really optimistic. But then we go to Orient the following week and we're absolutely dreadful. And we're lucky to get a 2-0 defeat, you know. But that is something else that I've seen. I watched this against Notts County in the Cup on Tuesday evening. And that was a very entertaining game, if I'm being honest. Notts County give a good impression of themselves. Thought they played really well. But it was end-to-end. And it was only 1-0 and it was a penalty. It was a penalty, but it was still, there were still chances being created and like defence has gone on top a little bit. But that's what I'm hoping to see this season. After being at times bored out of our heads last season, hoping for a little bit of excitement at home. We was okay away last season, apart from when we came to Peterborough and you did us the 2-0, didn't you? But yeah, going back to you, Ashley, I've been to Peterborough on a Tuesday night as well. And what a dreadful journey home that is after you've been. Luckily, the time I came down, we won 3-2 with, we had Grant Holt in the team and Max Power. We were winning 2-0 and you brought it back to 2-2 with about 2 minutes to go, and we scored almost direct from the kickoff. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I think that might be a little bit out of my memory bank for sure. The one I do remember, I think it was maybe two seasons ago, wasn't it, where I think you potentially went 3-0 up and then we scored two late on, and it was like if we had 60 seconds more, it probably would have ended up being 3-0. But they've been some good games, haven't they, between Wigan and Posh. And like you said, last season when we came up to your place, I think that's sort of when it started to go downhill for us, in that Kipriani got injured very early on in the game, did his hamstring, and he was then out for a couple of weeks. And that was sort of just a downturn in form for us, realistically, when we came up to Wigan. So a bit of a disaster there, really.
So it's interesting you talking about, it's been a little bit more free-flowing, and I appreciate the Leighton Orient game is a little bit different. Is this 3-5-2 formation new this season then?
Yeah, well, we play like a 3-1-4-2. So we play with the both wingers playing as wing-backs, if I'm being honest, Joe Lungball and Fraser Murray, who we got in from Kilmarnock. They're attacking players. So we've got the three central defenders, and we have a sitter just in front of them. Tobias Brennan's been doing that. He was a graduate from the academy, another one we've got come through. He only turned 19 in July, and he's come into the team, and he's been absolutely brilliant. He started all three games so far. I'm not sure if he perhaps will be rested for this one, but we've had a bit of an injury crisis in midfield with Matt Smith and Barbara Dico both out injured. So he might get another start, but he's been excellent. So then we have two like roving midfielders in the Jenson Weir's been playing one of the roles, and Tyrese Francois, who we signed last summer from Fulham. He played three games, which absolutely out of this world, and then he got injured and was out till for the rest of the season. I mean, that's the way it goes.
We spoke on Tuesday that because Jenson Weir was linked with Posh last season briefly. He's been a bit inconsistent for you, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. I mean, we had massive hopes for him when he came back. He come through our academy, graduated, and he was our youngest ever player at 15 years and 200 and odd days. And then we went into administration. We had to sell players to stop us from going to the wall. And he was the only players we could sell, because it was outside the transfer window, was academy players. And he was one of them. Joel Gellert was another one. And Alfie Devine we sold as well. So them three went and basically saved the club. So it seems that from that time, which was 2021, we've been trying to get him back to the club. And it took like until last summer for us to eventually get him back, and we signed him on a permanent. So there's really high hopes about Jensen Wynn. I'd seen him play at Cambridge, seen him play at Markham and other clubs as well. And he looks all right every time he's faced us. But I think it's fair to say he's disappointed last season. This season, however, he started. This first game was against Northampton. I think he only got in the team due to injury issues with some of the other players. But he had an absolute blinder. Honestly, he helped him scoring a goal. He scored an header from a corner. It was his first goal for Wigan Athletic, and his game just went through the roof from there. He had two other efforts. One was an absolute screaming shot. The keeper pulled off a really good save for that one. He's been quite, it wasn't that good at, if I'm being honest, down at Orient, but it's fair to say there's only Sam Tittle played any good down there. So he was in the bunch there. But yeah, so I know you were linked with him, and I'm still not sure because we seem to be a little bit overloaded in midfield with players. I'm not too sure whether he'd still be available if you fancied him or not. But His first game was all right. That's all I'll say. He's probably in the starting 11 for tomorrow.
So what you're saying is we're on a scouting mission, basically, for some new midfielders. Because although we did bring him on, we'll discuss that later, me and Harry. Barry, you mentioned just then that Sam Tickle was probably your only good player against Orient. I've just watched the extended highlights of your three games this season, and I wanted to get your opinion on him because I'd always seen him as a really reliable goalkeeper. I don't know whether it was just the clips that they showed and obviously not being able to watch the full 90, but he looked a little bit ropey in your league game against Northampton and then obviously the cup game midweek. It didn't look like he had that sort of confidence that he would normally show in the game. And obviously when you've come down previously, he's been caught doing cartwheels, hasn't he, at London Road. He just didn't seem like maybe he was quite the same as he normally is.
No, he definitely is the same. The goal against Northampton, we made a substitution on that corner and it threw everything and they scored from it. And he did get caught out, but it weren't just him. And also, I don't know if you can see it on the replay or not, he actually gets pulled back by a Northampton player who was up for the corner, free kick. But, I mean, you know, we'll let him have that one. Against Notts County, he pulled out two absolutely sensational saves late in the game, which, you know, guaranteed that we kept the clean sheet and we went through to the next round. And he's played three games, he's got two clean sheets, so, you know, it's not too bad. And against Orient, one was an own goal and the other was an absolute doozer, wasn't it? A proper Sallywanga that nearly broke the net as well, so... Yeah, no, I'm not having that. He's the best goalkeeper outside the Premier League. He's England's number one. England's under 22 number one because he's 22 now. No, get away. Get away, Ashley. He's still as good as... You'll see anyway tomorrow.
I would love to be able to say that Posh has England's number one in jest at some point because we are in transition with keepers, to put it mildly. Hopefully, once Alex Bass is back, we signed him from Notts County in the summer, he's able to hold down that shirt for the next several years. But until then, it's interesting. We've got a player on loan, Reyes. I think he's played for Cambridge before, and is he from Norwich right now? He did make a good save on Tuesday night, but I think he immediately it went out to an Accrington player who then essentially nutmegged him with the shot, and it didn't look great on the replay.
The reason, Harry, that it went that the Accrington player had the shot is because Archie Collins didn't follow his man from the throw-in.
Yes, well, you were there. You're the one to confirm exactly what the issue was there. Who else have we not mentioned yet? Fergie in our pre-match presser. Barry mentioned that he thought that Sadie and Costello are a real threat. And we're familiar with Costello, having been a Cobblers player. How have they started the season? Anyone else in the forward areas that we should be concerned about for tomorrow?
I mentioned earlier on about Fraser Murray. Scored two goals on his debut. He looks a bit of a gem player. Kilmarnock's player of the season. We got him on a free transfer and the fans kicked off Big Sal because he'd left, and then on the message boards and Twitter, they were saying how good of a player we've got, you know. So that's always nice to hear. And it looks like he's 100%. The only thing with Fraser Murray was on Tuesday evening, when the whistle went, he went down onto his knees And I think he'd been on from about 23 minutes because we had a young lad on loan from Liverpool, Isaac Mayeba. He went off injured. This injury concerns of other defenders. It's terrible. Anyway, he came on and he didn't put, I mean, there was no difference in the effort that he put in on Tuesday evening for him to sort of react like that. And I noticed one of the fitness coaches went over to him and he had his arm around him and another player helped him up to his feet. So I'm just fingers crossed he's going to be all right for tomorrow because I really, really like the look of him. I think he's going to have a big season. You say you know all about Costello. He's an hard-working striker. And I think once he gets off the mark, I think he missed an absolute sitter in the first game against Northampton. Open goal, 2 yards out, and he's trying to edit down on left instead of letting it hit his head and just go into the back of the net. And as soon as it's left his head, he's grabbed his head and fell to the floor because he knew exactly what he'd done. It was an open goal. But I think he'll score. He'll be definitely in double figures for us, and I'm looking forward to him. He looks an exciting player. But Chris Sadie, I didn't really know much about him, you know, down at Portsmouth. When we signed him, I have a couple of friends who were Portsmouth fans, and they said, God, you've got a player there. You'll love him. And he said, but he scores no goals. He doesn't score any goals. I said, he's a striker. He said, well, he's not really. He's like a battering ram. And that's exactly what he is. He reminds me a little bit of Jason Roberts without the goal output. I mean, Jason Roberts is a legend player. But he's that type of player. He's dead strong. He's great on the floor. His feet are good. He's fast. He's powerful. He turns. He's direct. He brings other players into it. And I'm looking forward to watching him all season. Now, I've said all that. He played like that against Northampton. And we went down to Orient. And as I've said, they were all blinking rubbish. And he was just as bad as anybody, you know. But it's football, isn't it? This is why we love it. You never know what's going to happen when you turn up. And I'll tell you who surprised me this season as well. Joe Wungbo. We signed him from... I can't remember. A German club. I don't know. I mean, he wasn't like your Bayern Munich or Dortmund. So he was some... I've not a clue. Anyway, he was on loan at Rotherham. We ended up signing him and we brought him in. And I remember him playing for Huddersfield and he was like, I always thought he was brilliant. And again, I can see why he's never made many starts. He's more of an impact sub because when we've played him from the off, he last season didn't do much really. But this season, first game, he created 2 goals. He looks like he's on fire. He wants a point to prove to Ryan Law, and he's playing well. Yeah, so they're the players I'd pick out, without a doubt.
And the ones...
FC Nürnberg, I think it was.
Yes, FC Nürnberg. Oh,
that was... Surely that was Joe Wungbo. He's telling me. He's trying to tell me. He played all right last season. That's what he's saying. He's going out live, this, isn't it? Come on, Joe.
It is, yeah. Could it be the club calling you in to see whether you can play centre-back on Saturday? I understand you've got a defensive crisis on your hands.
Yeah, well, I was a number 10 when I played, so I've been all good at centre-back, I'll tell you that. Yeah, well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Yara. No, you might be able to correct me on this one, because I wasn't aware that the Carabao Cup counted for you to serve suspensions in.
So your guy who was suspended at the end of last season is back now, is he?
Yeah, so he's done 2 in the league games, and then his third one was... So Will Ameson, he got sent off in the last game of the season. He served his 3 now, apparently. And Stevie Sessegnon got sent off, got a 1-match suspension, bringing he was the last man, brought a player down at Orient. And that was served against Notts County. I mean, this is what Ryan Law said. I'm hoping he knows what he's doing, and it's true, because I'd hate for us to, you know, play a player who's suspended at R2. I don't think Sessegnon will play, if I'm being honest, but I'd hate for us to put Ameson in. And I mean, are you aware of that? I know, I thought each competition had its own suspension rules, and
you know what? I actually, at the back of my mind, I did know that the Carabao Cup games do count towards it. Well, Ashley, is there still time for us to change our predictions graphic? Because I might be going from a draw back to a loss on Saturday.
Yeah, the prediction graphic will definitely be wrong, because not to spoil anything, but I've also got us as a draw as well, and my hope has been quickly dashed after watching 30 minutes of Wigan highlights and Barry telling me that all of the players that were meant to be suspended are now not suspended. And then the only other player that I wanted to ask you about, Barry, was Paul Mullin. Now, he is not as special as people make out, in League One in particular, but he obviously scored on Tuesday night for you, didn't he? He scored that penalty. And has he looked good for you since he joined? Obviously, he had a massive back surgery last season, which sort of stunted his season at Wrexham. But do you think he's going to perform for you guys?
Well, last season, we were the lowest scorers in this division with no goal scorers. So we brought Mullin and Costello in to sort of solve that. So with that side of things, I'm quite pleased. The big surprise for me is the fact he's only 30. I thought he was at least 33, you know, so I don't know where I've got that. He seems to have been around for a long time. And when you're talking about his injury the last season, I was also pleased that we brought him in on loan, because it gives us a little bit of insurance. I know there's talk of us initially bringing him in on a permanent, but I think his fitness issues. But he's looked all right when he's coming. He obviously knows how to play football, like at the top end of the pitch. And that's something that we've lacked for the past two seasons, since we lost Charlie White, since he left the club. That striker who's got a bit of know-how to bring other players into the games. So he's shown glimpses of that, but he's only had bit parts. I think he came on for about 10 minutes against Northampton on the opening day. And then against Orient, he got about 25 minutes. He started the game on Tuesday evening, as you said, and got the penalty. And that was a real proper centre-forwards penalty. He smashed it. There's not a goalkeeper on the planet would have saved that. If it had got it in his chest, it would have carried the keeper into the net with it. It was brilliant to see. But that's the way it's hit, really. He's not done much more. So I'm hoping he's gonna be good for like 8, 9, 10 goals this season. If you can chip in with that, I'd be more than happy. But the big thing for me,
8, 9, 10 years.
No. But the big thing with me, Harry, is that Costello's not really that experienced, is he? He's only played probably 20-25 games under his belt. So he's going to be the learning off Mullin. I know you say he's at League One, but he's still an experienced striker. He's been around, he's done the business where he's played before. So he's got the know-how. And we liked that last season. We liked it with Dale Taylor. Dale Taylor was raw. We saw that a lot of time. So, yeah, we've been crying out for a player like him. But is he going to do the stuff for us? Yeah, I'm hoping so. I'm hoping he will. But time will tell. Time will tell.
I hope he doesn't, if I'm being totally honest. At least he doesn't do it tomorrow, let's say. Barry, one last thing just before we get a prediction off you. A question from the chat. Are Wigan a big physical side this season?
No. We've got a big physical player in Chris Sadie. I've mentioned he's all muscle. And the rest of them, no, not really. I mean, that's something that, again, I think we've been lacking over the past two or three seasons, that edge, that nasty edge. I mean, we've been linked with a move back for Nick Powell, who, can I say shithouse on the, yeah, who is a legend of a shithouse at Wigan Athletic. And we need something with somebody with that nasty streak in them, you know, to help us boss games, to win games. We've got a good centre-half in Jason Kerr, but he's not your physical bruiser. Williamson puts his body on the line, but again, he's not going through players. We've just signed Morgan Fox from QPR. He's 300 championship games. I know nothing about him, apart from the fact he's 6'2". So maybe we've got a bit of physicality there. I like that word, physicality. Something we were lacking last year was clinicality. So hopefully now we're looking at physicality. So I hope he brings a bit of that. I think in midfield, we're missing a little bit. Somebody's going to kick the opposition around. We had Ollie Norburn, you know, we had him on loan, you know him quite well. And when he came into the team, when we got last season, he came on loan from Blackpool. He was doing a bit of that. And he's gone off to Notts County, so we've missed that. So I'd have liked maybe to have seen him stay just to give us that little edge. So no, we're not a big physical team at all.
Sorry, bro. Somebody else has come in and asked, where's the nearest place to the ground to get a Wigan kebab?
Right. If you come in by train, get off at the train station, obviously, and then turn right and go up the hill, and there's loads of pie shops there. And all you need to say is one of two things. Can I have a Wigan kebab, please? Or can I have a pie and a bomb? If you're going to be around the stadium, there are some pie shops, but they're a little bit of a walk away. What I would say, we've got a fan zone now. It's the second time we're running it. We run it. Northampton, it made its debut, and we've got it in for the game with you. And away fans are welcome in it as well. But it's at the opposite end of the ground. So you're in the north stand. The fan zone is at the south stand. So you just walk around the ground and you'll come to it. I think there's a band in there. There's bars. There's food places. There's something, a karaoke as well for the best singer. There's a great prize for the best singer. So you can get involved in... Ashley's nodding his head. I can see he's like a rag and bone man type. No,
I see. I can't sing. Ashley,
do I know who? Harry, sorry.
It's not about the singing. It's the appearance. You look a bit like Rag and Bone Man.
Do you think
there was another? There was another one that somebody said to me on holiday one time. They actually came up and asked me if I looked like this guy, and I can't remember for the life of me who it is. I'll find it. I've got it on a message somewhere.
It was Ashley from Up the Poshcast.
Get that in the gym when I'm stood in my swimming shorts.
My goodness. Yeah. Well, yeah. So what sort of shorts you got on at the moment then?
What shorts have I got at the moment? I have got shorts on at the moment, but not my swimming shorts. No. Right, okay. Save those just for when I'm in the pool or on holiday, of course.
So you're Wigan kebab, any pie shop. I'd recommend Galloway's the muffin man. That is a pie shop, by the way.
Love it. I think, yeah, I'm hoping to get down early enough tomorrow to go and get a Wigan kebab. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I think we're there. Barry, thank you so much. Before you go, we are asking everyone who we bring on for their prediction, a scoreline, and also your first Wigan goal scorer, if you've got one.
Well, I'm going for a 2-0 to the Lassics. And I'd love to see Derek Costello get off the mark. So that's what I'm hoping for. Now, the trouble with Peterborough is we always get it totally wrong. So, you've lost your first three games. This could end up, we could end up kickstarting your season here. So I don't, all right. But 2-0 with my head and my heart. There we go. Derek Costello. Double.
Fantastic. Barry, thank you so much. Actually, no, one last thing. If people want to listen to your preview of the Peterborough United game, where can they find you?
Right, well, as is already out, but if you're on Twitter tomorrow, you'll see Grab a Match Day Listen, and I'm going to tag you into that one, Harry, because obviously you're on there. And we do a reaction one on Sunday, so all the reactions to the game. And you can listen to our preview of us going to Luton Town to see if we can get one over on them for you after they beat you last weekend. So we'll try and kick the backsides for them for you. How's that?
And that's Progress with Unity, isn't it, on Twitter?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot about it. I'm getting carried away talking.
I'm trying to help you here, Barry.
Thanks, Harry. You're a good coach. Yeah, the Progress with Unity podcast, the Progress with Unity podcast, PWU podcast. Or just type into Google Wigan Athletic Podcast and it'll pop up.
Oh, that's where we want to be. Type in Peter United Podcast and we're number one. I think we're close.
Barry, think we are.
We think we're there. Yeah. Barry, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you very much. I've loved it. You're brilliant. So up the poshcast, but not up the posh, not till after tomorrow anyway.
Up the poshcast.
Yeah. See you later, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barry.
Yes, I think Ashley will politely kick you off.
Let's just go on to our two-man.
Before we continue, don't go anywhere, Posh fans. We have a Posh fan coming on now to discuss it from the Peter United side in a bit more detail. But before we do, I'd just like to say thank you to our sponsors and partners of this episode, Smith's Hyundai. They have a state-of-the-art, award-winning showroom down on Breton Way. If you're thinking of upgrading your vehicle, a new or used one, 7 days a week, they're open. Get yourself down there, even if it's just have a chat and a cup of coffee with them. And I think Ashley's going to nicely transition us now.
In Peterborough, match day starts long before kickoff. And whether you're heading to the pub, the ground, or just tuning into the podcast, Hyundai gets you there in comfort, style, and with room for your mates. Visit Smith's Hyundai, your local Hyundai experts and proud supporters of Up the Poshcast.
We are back in business.
Very well done. And we are now joined by Wombling, Wombling Free, as some of you may know him on Twitter. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm a bit worried about the positivity that Barry's just been given for the last 20 minutes. Makes me even more worried about tomorrow's game. But he didn't look like a man worried about losing points, did he?
I know. My thread of hope was their defensive crisis, and he has dashed every element of that, basically. Except the one thing he didn't mention, James Carragher, who is Jamie Carragher's son, started their first game, and he is now out. I think it's for the season, or it's near as damn it the whole season. But other than that, everyone's back. So we're going to have to be at our best to have a chance, I think.
I'm worried about the fact he also put the image of Ashley in his swimming shorts on holiday into my head, which I'll probably never be able to get out again. So
I will send you a picture when we are finished. You will Please be don't. Delighted, I am Please sure. Don't. Maybe I'll just put it on Twitter. Why not? Who cares?
Well, yeah, true.
Mark, I've got a question for you.
Yep.
I want to know about your shirt collection. I'm sure that you'll be the envy of most of the people in the comments section tonight if you tell people about that to start us off.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was quite fortunate a couple of weeks ago when they did the Mick George celebration for the fact they're extending their partnership with the club. And Alex reached out with your help, I believe, Ashley, to say that I'd got basically all the shirts back from when Mick George started. So I took them down to the club and they did a photo session there. And that was great to get them out of the lockup where they sit. But the kit collection goes back to my first kit, which I was actually there today with my old SodaStream kit, which probably would fit Imogen now. So it was very small, and my wife laughed at the shiny shorts that were a part of the collection. But yeah, so I've got not quite on old Posh shirts level, but yeah, I've got a really good collection. Got a lockup up in Fengate, and probably not just Posh shirts, but there's four figures anyway, so into the thousands of shirts that I've got up there. Yeah, so. And all the programs from when Posh started in the Football League, all of those. So basically, as you guys have found out, I just collect lots of things, anything to do with Posh, and it is an addiction. But yeah, and maybe we'll do a location shoot one day with the podcast, and you can come and have a look, and we can go through some of the old shirts, and you can make your comments, and hopefully make a few people envious.
I can see the vlog coming on nicely on the channel.
No worries. Yeah, I won't give locations, though, in case there's an armed robbery soon after. Yeah, with the Dan Zen van going the other direction.
It's Abbey Stadium, Cambridge.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I forgot to mention my sponsor, by the way, at the start. So my sponsor is the Posh Over 50s, and obviously it's hashtag We Were Much Worse in the 80s. So I just wanted to throw that out, because I know that there's a lot of chat goes on Twitter about us old fans. And it's all true. It was much worse in the 80s. So just get that one out.
You have just segued me perfectly into the question I was going to ask you, because before we get into Saturday's game, can you take us down memory lane of any good or otherwise interesting trips you've had up to Wigan?
Yeah. So back when they were at Springfield Park, for some of the older fans, there used to be a grass bank behind the goal at Springfield Park, very different to the new stadium. And there's some famous footage of, I think it's either Sunderland or Leeds fans sliding up and down it on like a real bad weather day. And you literally jumping down and mudslide into the front. We went there on a Friday night. I think it was probably about 2,500, 3,000 going there. And we were driving along. We couldn't find the turn in for the ground to get to the away end. And it was I think Brian Hamilton was the manager at the time. We got to the traffic, these traffic lights a couple of times. We're like, where is it? Is it down there? Is it down there? And in front of us, the guy pulled out, got out of the car, said, oh, are you Posh fans? We're like, yeah, you need to go down there. And we were like, he looked quite familiar. And when we got there, we realized it was the away manager who'd pointed to where we needed to park, which is a rare one to actually get directed into the ground by the opposition manager. But things were slightly different back in the day then. But yeah, and again, we lost. So that seems to be a theme when we go to Wigan for me, because obviously when we won, it was in COVID, so nobody could go. So it's never a happy hunting ground for me, but it was a good story at the time.
So Posh fans haven't seen us win at Wigan ever, is that right?
I'm not sure whether we ever won, certainly not my time, I can't remember seeing us win. I'm not sure if we won at Springfield Park through history, but I think at the new stadium, we've got a pretty dire record.
I think it's 8 losses, 4 draws, and then the only win was, COVID. Like we said, is during COVID. I don't know whether that's all time or whether that is just at the Brick Community Stadium.
Yeah, it's certainly not a happy hunting ground, and I understand why certain members of the podcast always find excuses not to go to Wigan. You know, whether they're on holiday or buying some new flares so they look cool when they go on the terrace. You know, so certain people do avoid it.
Incredible. Incredible. Those who know, they know. For those who don't,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is live. Are you going up tomorrow? You go up to the game yourself?
Yeah, so we're going to have a bit of an early start. So as a part of the collection, it's also quite a lot of programmes. So there's a programme place in Chorley. So we're going to get there early, go and dig out and probably put some more stuff in the lockup, hopefully to collect it. So, and we'll no doubt be looking for a Wigan kebab once we get to the ground. It's I'm looking forward to it. It's hopefully going to be a better trip than Tuesday night. Although I've gone from the depths of depression at the end of the game, I feel a bit more confident after some of the new signing and some of the links that we've got and Dara's podcast, which made me think we're about to sign maybe 2, 3, or even 4 players potentially. And I think anyone who witnessed Accrington on Tuesday thinks that's exactly what we need. We need something pretty drastic and pretty quickly just to change our mindset. So I've gone from being, say, really grumpy to being a little bit less grumpy and hopeful for maybe post-transfer window anyway.
Yeah, do you know what? I think that's my issue, isn't it? Is that I know that Fergie said, well, we wanted to give people the chance, but John said it way back when. I'm sure he said it when we recorded as well. Like, it was so obvious that some of these players that are now going just were never going to be up to the standard of League One. And the frustration is that it was always the plan. And Harry, you sort of mentioned earlier, and I don't want to take the credit for this, is that Fergie wanted a lean squad at the start of pre-season, didn't he? And that was one of the things that he mentioned. And now he basically just doesn't care how many people he's got in as long as he's got new people through the door, which, look, is great that he's got the support of the chairman on that. But do we really want the cannon fodder that we can't even ship out into League Two or National League to be sat around and causing issues? Obviously, last season we had people saying that they couldn't wait to leave the club. Will that be the same this year? Is that those, like, I don't want to say that, like, the likes of Bilo Blackmore and Con Clark and De Havilland are going to be disruptive, but surely we should be trying to push as hard as we can to get them back. What are your thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, I guess we're trying to get some money back in for some of the players that we have invested in. And I think sometimes that makes it difficult for us to shift them on, because other than us and maybe the top 6 or 7 in League One, there's not a lot of money flying around for people to take. They'll take people on free transfers. Players will probably want us to buy out contracts, but Posh and the chairman obviously see value in some of those players still. So it's hard to shift them on. There's lots of players on free agency, so why would they pay for, you know, somebody who struggled to get into a League One side? Why would you pay 50-100 grand or whatever it is?
And it's the 15th of August, so you're so close to the end of the window. It's not like you're trying to get a player in to be involved in your pre-season at this point. Kind of, I think if someone's looking at a De Havilland or a Chris Conn-Clark, they probably wait until deadline day. That's when the best deal is going to be had, isn't it?
I think we can't play hardball too much on fees. I know we want to get the best value, but are we better to take, like I say, 100 grand, 150 grand for a player or get nothing and they stay at the club, or we end up giving them away for nothing in January, doesn't really help us, especially as I think the cap space is still quite tight. Although if Collins shifts and goes, that might free up a bit of money, but be interested to see what the movements are, because my understanding on that one is that there's still clubs interested in him. So that will make a big difference potentially with any money coming in for us to buy players, but also say freeing that cap space up for wages.
Mark, the question I've got for you on tomorrow, other than new programs and a Wigan pie, what are you hoping to see for 90 plus minutes on the grass?
I hope to see a bit more of the second half from Tuesday. We weren't brilliant, but there was a bit more. We looked a bit more interested. Maybe being a bit more progressive. We look a lot of times, again, we had massive amounts of possession, even first half on Tuesday. But we were back to that. Keep it safe. Take the easy option. Pass it 5 yards. And sometimes you want someone like a Con Clark, who won't feature tomorrow, obviously, but who might take a risk, might give the ball away, but he'll play looking on the front foot on the half turn. We didn't do enough of that. Whether we're going to do anything majorly different tomorrow, I don't know whether the new signing is going to be available or whether he's going to start tomorrow. But no, so if we haven't got him, you're still working with the same tools, although Brad hopefully will be back and will give us a bit more of a focal point up front. But like last Saturday, when he plays on his own, it's frustrating for him. I mean, at times he had four defenders against Luton, and it doesn't matter how Ivan Toney would have struggled against four defenders against one. So we've got to think, are we getting forward? Fergie mentioned it on the post-match on Tuesday about wingers getting involved, creating, putting balls into the box. That's what we need to do, be a bit more on the front foot. Will we do that tomorrow? I'm not convinced, because I think Wigan are a decent side. They've got some very good players and they'll be buoyed by their home form. Obviously, only early days, but I think you saw Barry. He was very confident of what they can do. And then he's listing players who could potentially hurt us tomorrow. I'm finding that quite difficult to list players who hurt opposition at the moment, but it's early days still, isn't it, in the season?
Yeah, and do you know what? You said about Fergie's comments about the wingers and getting the ball into the box. Look, we've all commented on how isolated Brad has been at times so far this season. The Diamond made the return on Tuesday night. Do you think that there's a chance that we stick with that tomorrow? Because I think that, although it was Gustav and Lisby on Tuesday, I think that Brad and AN Other tomorrow totally changes the sort of perspective on the Diamond, because we know that Keller's happy to make runs forwards. We know that, well, we hope that Lolos is going to be that sort of 10 that really wants to push on. Do you think there's a chance that we see another Diamond again tomorrow or not?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I'm, despite successes that we've had in the past, I've never been a massive fan of the Diamond, even in some of our, with our really good sides, because a bit traditionally I do like either a two up top or one just tucked in behind. Some of our best performances, best teams over the past few years have got that decent 10 who can pretty much dictate the game, make things happen, a Paul Taylor type or a Lee Tomlin type, somebody, you know, and maybe Lolos is that. I personally don't think he will be, but maybe that's what he's been brought in to do. His numbers at League Two and non-league are great. Whether he can do that at League One in a side that isn't full of confidence remains to be seen. But yeah, I think we might be stuck with the Diamond for a little while, depending on, again, where these new players potentially coming in are going to fit into that.
Yeah, I agree. I've always thought, and I think we saw this against Luton, that playing one up top against a back three is usually pretty difficult to pull off. Because if you, especially if they're a physical player you're trying to go up to, because as Ash pointed out, you have four, or maybe you pointed out, Mark, they very rapidly get charged down unless you've got an extremely active midfield behind them. I don't know if we've necessarily got the wingers capable of stretching their back three. And obviously, Lisby struggled against Lonwick against Luton. But what are you doing on the wings, assuming we do play? If we don't play a Diamond and we have wingers, what would you do?
I think out of what I've seen so far, I think Hayes was a bright spark on Tuesday. I think he always gives you
tell Ashley that.
it's a difficult one because wingers are always inconsistent anyway. I mean, look at when Mason Clark came in for the first 3 months, it looked like he'd won a raffle prize to be a Football League player, and look what he turned into. So it is difficult with Lisby and with Thrift to know exactly what they're going to look like in 3 months' time. So it's early to write them off. But, you know, and they're so hit and miss wingers. And you think if we don't have the ball, then they're going to look like they're just wandering around. Odo's prime example of that. If we don't have the ball and don't have a lot of possession, he may as well not be on the field because he doesn't do anything going back the other way. And that's not a criticism of just him, but that's a fact. But then if you're playing out and out wingers, most teams suffer that unless you're really top end of the division and you dominate possession every game. But yeah, I'd be interested to see what impact they have tomorrow. But I think we might be a lot of chasing the ball, a bit like the Cardiff game, where we didn't really lay a glove on them many times in the game, but it was really good football from Cardiff at times, moving us around. And I think that's what wore us down in the end, as well as we didn't really have a goal threat.
Yeah, I think that rather than Abraham Odo, we would maybe be better with your mate in the background that you've got there, who probably, as Fergie said, is part of the training drills down at the training ground. Obviously, that mannequin comment went down like a ton of bricks, didn't it? I just think, like, I think it's the right thing. I've got no issue with Fergie calling the players out. It's how difficult is it to translate training against mannequins into a game? And ultimately, that's what these people are paid to do, right? And they're not doing it so far this season. So is Odo the answer? Obviously, there's been linked to Ethan Archer, I think it is. And then again, the problem is, and I said it, I think, when we recorded last week, it just constantly feels like we're waiting for players to come back. Like, Frith was okay against Cardiff, and then all of a sudden he's out for, what, 2 weeks, three games, potentially. We might see him Tuesday. Are you concerned about the injuries as well or not?
I mean, we've been absolutely jinxed by losing Bass and Hughes is massive. I think both games, whether the results would have been different, the two league games would have looked different, I think, because when Bass came in, even in that first game against Leicester, in behind closed doors friendly, it just looked like the defence were a bit more relaxed, that they had somebody behind them who was solid. We haven't seen too much of him yet, but he definitely gives you that air of authority. Somebody you know, your last line of defence is important, that he gives confidence, and that affects obviously the back four and how they play. And then when Billow came back in straight away, we look a little bit unsettled. You look at the back pass last week, wasn't a great back pass by Nevitt. Billow probably didn't help the situation because he's nervous already. If that had been Bass, he probably would have just played normal back pass and Bass would have launched it a bit direct, but gone, and they wouldn't have scored the second goal. But yeah, it's a tricky one to be able to work out what we can do, because Reyes worried me second half. I think there was one where he flapped at one and it was like me being in goal with a bit shorter, obviously. But, you know,
I think it was a penalty, by the way, where he came out.
And that was Billow-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
Again, you don't want to crucify him because he's got to play, another 3, 4, 5 games, potentially at least, till we get Bass back. But he was probably not the route I would have gone. I would have been knocking. Wherever Jed Steer's hiding, I would have gone back and said, Jed, please, just for another couple of months.
Mark, let me tell you, I've seen what Jed's doing. He's on Aston Villa TV doing co-coms for their pre-season games. Okay. And he needs 3 pre-seasons, I'll put it that way.
Okay. He's summered well, has he?
Yeah, he's taken to retirement, I think.
Can I just have a quick shout out for the so I've got my TR11 Tommy Robson statue fund shirt on. So just to give them a bit of a shout out, if any posh fans want to get involved with the fundraising, they're about 3/4 of the way for the fund now, about 30k still needed to be raised. So any posh fans who want to get involved in that, they are on Twitter. I don't know whether you guys could put it into a link after the show just for the TR11 fund. And also a big shout out to Free Kicks, who I'm lucky enough to be a trustee for. They've got a golf day coming up in September. I think it's September 16th. I don't know whether you guys are putting a team in again. Good stuff. But anyone interested, there are sponsorships available at £100 for any companies watching if they'd like to get involved and help support that day. I know you guys have been really good in supporting. That'd be really good. So shout out to Free Kicks and TR11. And Thorny Golf Club, tell me, Ashley, that they've repaired all the divots from last year, so you are allowed to go back again.
Good stuff. They weren't me. I top the ball. I don't take divots. Okay. I top it 30 yards down the fairway.
No worries.
Very good. I think the last bit of business is the fact that we, after the Atkinson game, signed Matthew Garber. I mean, are you the same as me? Hadn't heard of him, but actually absolutely looks like he's got quite good pedigree on paper. It's an area we needed, I think, regardless. I think everyone knows I'm a fan of Donny O'Brien Brady, but even I can admit, like, this is coming into this situation right now where we need points to start a season. It's probably better to have someone come in who's got a bit more experience at a top level.
Yeah, I mean, very unheard. I've never heard of the guy. I've seen today a clip of him scoring against Ajax. So, yeah, he must be brilliant. He scored against Ajax. So, come on, he's got to be a great signing. But, yeah, I don't know much about him. He looks the sort of the, maybe the Kyprianou type stature, maybe a little bit shorter, but maybe he's going to be one who can. I've read from some of the Nac Breda fans that he's a box-to-box midfielder, which will help. But Keller will probably be doing that as well. So it's whether they can play together if Archie does leave, or whether maybe we bring an Archie replacement and then interchange, because Keller's still a young man. You know, it's a
lot to ask him
to carry us in midfield for a whole season in League One. I think maybe when we bought him, he was perhaps a squad player coming in and out and, you know, getting experience and building into it. But he's been thrown into it, and our fans are expecting him to be running the show against Luton and Cardiff. It's just unrealistic expectations, and it might be the same with the new signing as well. He might need some time.
The one thing I'd say about him, I completely agree on Keller. Certain of the podcast hosts predicted Keller to be our player of the season, which I think was quite bold for a 20-year-old. And that's no disrespect to him. I think he'll go on to be a great player. But he's going to need some mentoring. And although Garber is 23, I watched before this the halfway line episode that they interviewed it. Ewan interviewed him. He's got confidence. I mean, the good kind. It helps that he's got many New Zealand first team appearances, proper national team, and also their Olympics team. Played for Torino. He's played in the top tier of the Dutch leagues. Played the top tier in Sweden. And I feel good about the fact that he has had a lot of pressure on him in those kind of games already. League One is not the same pressure as trying to beat a relegation battle in Eredivisie. I think that this isn't gonna faze him, is what I'm getting at. Yeah, I don't know if you got.
Yeah,
any
I hope so.
Would you start him tomorrow?
Let's be positive.
I think Fergie's pretty much said that he's not going to play in his interview until at least Tuesday, just because they want to get him up to speed. It'll be the same with Reyes. We may see him on the bench, or he'll probably travel with the team and warm up like Lolos did at Cardiff, I think it was. But I don't think that we'll see him tomorrow. I think it's too soon. That he's probably needs to get his sort of act together and life together type thing, doesn't he? And settle down before he plays. And a home game on a Tuesday night is probably perfect for that, isn't it?
Ready for our annual defeat at home to Barnsley. Something to look forward to.
Exactly. No, exactly.
I'm being positive, sorry. Yeah, being positive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on that note of predictions of what's coming up, what have you got for this Wigan game tomorrow? And who's your first goal scorer for Posh, if you have one?
Okay, so I'm going to make, it might not be the one that I submit into the league, because I don't want to give my secrets away after getting 5 points last Saturday. And telling Harry before, but it was too late for him to change his own prediction, I think. But I'm going to be positive like Barry was for Wigan. I'm going to say 2-1 Posh, and Akugbu is going to be the first goal scorer. There you go.
Ooh, is that from a corner or an absolute thunderbolt from 40 yards away?
It's not going to be a Manny at Exeter. He's not going to run through everybody and hit one from 30 yards. No, it's going to be a set piece. We're going to score from a set piece. That probably is more of a shock than saying that Posh are going to win. But yeah, that's what I'll go for. But it will be different on the league. It. So please don't submit that one on the league for me.
No,
unless of course it turns out to be right, and then you'll want us to change it. Should be 2-1 with Akagbue.
Yeah, there's an asterisk on that prediction. Clearly,
amazing. Right, thank you, Mark. You've been a fantastic guest.
No worries.
Really appreciate you
being on, Mark. Up the Poshcast, and good luck to Dale trying to get in at Wigan tomorrow.
That means you, that's you. Like you got something planned for him, Mark.
Was that sinister? I didn't mean it to be sinister.
Thank you, Mark.
Cheers, guys. Speak Take care.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right, oh, we are right. In business now.
Yeah, let's we're almost there. All the way back
to the start of this.
All the comments.
There is.
And questions.
So I think still
are people even still watching?
Oh, yeah. We're ticking up. We've actually got higher as we've gone on. So nice. People just keep sticking around. I don't know why. It's a Friday night and Liverpool are playing. I thought we were going to be muddied, but I think we've ticked that one off. I think he'll travel. He'll warm up. He'll go through the motions and then he'll probably do a little bit of running before. But I don't think he's going to play.
I think he'll make the bench. Because what's the alternative? RDH somehow coming back into the fold just to sit on the bench and make up the numbers. I reckon. And in that halfway line, it sounds like he's kept himself fit all summer. Now, we won't be up to speed with the tactical ideas, obviously. But fitness-wise, I think he's close.
Do we have any tactics at the moment?
Yeah.
Kellen Sarson does say that Wigan is a bogey game for us. It does always feel like that, doesn't it? I think we got a result against them at home last year. I think it was only a scrappy 1-0. One of Sam Hughes' first games.
And they were uncharacteristically awful that night. They were shocking that night. It wasn't like Posh played them off the park. They just did not show up. And we've got to hope that Wigan, for whatever reason, appears at home tomorrow.
Declan Moody has also commented on John's crash outpost, Stanley.
Declan, wait till Monday. Wait till Monday.
I don't want to be angry. I don't want to rant. I'm just disappointed. And then 60 seconds later, he's basically called every single player that was on the pitch absolutely diabolical. And that was one of the things that somebody replied to us on Twitter and said, it's dangerous doing the review straight after the game. But I think that that's kind of what we're good at, is that all of our reactions are raw and we don't always get the chance to reflect on things and make decisions. Like, you've seen our ratings sometimes. I'm still petitioning for justice for Oscar Wallin for not getting the man of the match on Tuesday night. And I actually think that he's had a really good start to the season in all three games. I've not been disappointed by him, actually. So I'm hoping that he can have another strong game tomorrow. And is that from that experience that he got from Sam Hughes for the second half of last season? It probably is. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I think if I had to guess, going off what we could hear against Accrington Stanley, for those of us who were watching it on Sky Sports. I know the pretender poshes who watched it on Sky Sports. We could hear him. His main frustration with Oscar was not passing quickly enough. So it's a progression thing. And 23-24 was all built on Knight and Edwards, fundamentally, especially after we lost Chiosso. It was all about breaking the first line of the team that we were playing and then something happening out of that. And if Wallin isn't doing it at the pace that Fergie wants, he's going to get told off, even if he's defending quite well. So that's what he has to focus on. It's just is being involved in that progression. I think his dribbles have been really good so far, personally. His decision making coming out of defence with the ball at his feet have actually been really good. Not one of them has been a lucky getaway.
No, and I think that that's something to do with, although I would always prefer a left-footed player on the left side of the defence, I think that's something to do with him being right-footed and that he can cut inside and bring the ball inside into the middle of the pitch rather than feeling like he needs to take it down the outside and then congesting with Otto and Hayes. Next comment, we're not going through this without pulling that one up. Big up Kyle Borland. I am not the GOAT. There are many other people better than me, but thank you for your support. Just a reminder for anybody that's going tomorrow, Galloway's is the place to go, according to Barry, for the Wigan kebab. Now, I think that's if you are coming from the train station. If you're going straight to the ground, I think there's a few places, but they're not going to be as good as this.
Can you imagine if the away day designated pub is empty and Galloway's just has 150 posh fans to send on them at lunchtime?
Nearly 500, actually. I thought that the sales weren't great, but there's nearly 500, and there's even people that haven't bought their tickets. Next question is, will you be seeing me in a Zorb ball tomorrow? Now, I don't know if you saw this, Harry, but Posh put out a tweet asking for people for the halftime. No, you will not. But I do believe that Tobba has emailed in to hopefully be on there at halftime. So that will hopefully provide all of the entertainment. I remember to it was Cambridge, wasn't it, last year with the Zorb ball, with the Zorb football, where the lad basically just kept charging him down. That was good entertainment. So hopefully we get similar levels of entertainment. And then Rafty just wanted to slag me off again and told me that when during the golf day, one of my divots hit his roofs because he lives in the middle of Thorny. That is a salacious headline. That did not happen. And Ben's just dropped in saying, get Dell in the Zorb ball. He's got to get in the ground first. And if Wombling's got anything to do with it, Dell won't be in the ground. And the answer to this is, yes, there were three people. I just haven't done my admin on it yet. So I will put
three
the results
for that.
Predicted
three 2-1 people predicted 2-1 Aki with Collinson.
Yeah, but no. Sorry, that's a lie. That's another salacious headline. Three people got the correct score of 2-1 Accrington. Nobody got 5 points. But I will do an update on that for all of the people that got 3 or 1 point, I think, are what would be on offer for that. I will then do another update on probably Sunday, depending on what time we get back, for the Wigan game as well. So reminder to get your predictions in, which probably is a good place for us to wrap up. Harry, are you going to run through? I'll do my prediction. You can do everyone else's. I'll put the graphic up on screen. Now, I went 0-0 purely because of what Harry told me about Wigan not having any fit defenders. There's every chance I may have resubmitted by the time that the 1 o'clock deadline comes around. I don't think that Posh are going to score because I don't see there being that much of a change in our play. And if they're playing a sort of 3 and a 5 at the back, I don't think that we're going to create the chances for ourselves. But I think that there's now more of a chance that we're going to be able to get forwards and score more goals. I haven't had a look at what they offer in those three extended highlights, which are all on the YouTube if anybody wants to go and watch them quickly.
I'm looking at John's prediction here of Wigan 3, Posh 1, with Brad score first. And I am tempted to change. I cannot lie. After hearing that Sessegnon's back, I forget the name of the player who was out last. Armstead, I think it is. He's good, according to Barry, at least. This is a tough game. It's a really tough start this season, isn't it? And at the phase we're at now, we probably need 4 more players in the door. I don't know. It'll be a pleasant surprise if we come away with anything tomorrow. But but I'll just say quickly.
Go on.
Just quickly, for those of you who haven't done it, uptheposhcast.com, the Next Level Barbell Club Predictions League. All you have to do is put in your email and your name, predict your score, predict your first goal scorer, hit submit, as easy as that. And you might think you've missed the first 3 games. There's no point entering. Well, let me tell you, this is going on all year. You could easily get to the top of the leaderboard by now. By the end. And it's a £250 cash prize. And failing that, there is monthly prizes to potentially be in a box at London Road for a game. But sorry, Ashley, continue.
I forgot what I was going to say. It wasn't important.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
None of it is. It's only football.
It is only football, and I had to remind Tobber of that the whole journey home as he was sat there looking out the window into the darkness as we went down the M6. It is just a game of football, and as long as we can go and watch Peter United every Tuesday and every Saturday and catch up with each other, that is all that matters for me. And now I now really want to go and watch Liverpool, the second half of the Liverpool game. So I think we're probably done there, aren't we, Harry?
We are there. With that, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. If you've missed any of it, this will be available on YouTube straight away afterwards. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.